to peace. To hello and welcome to episode 73 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is a free man.
I am. We hope you enjoy the show today. Yes, this is the, after 72 podcasts out of my parents' house, this, that just sounds horrible.
Your parents' basement, you mean?
Yeah, no. Here we are. I finally have my own place.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, so
in a way, this is episode one of the rest of your life.
Exactly. It's kind of crazy though, because like when we first met online through Match.com, I was at school at the time and mm-hmm. I was a senior, and it's like we started doing podcasts. You know, me in my dorm room, you and where you are now, obviously. But it's like a lot has changed for me since when we first met. Maybe not so much for you, but
still in the same old place, doing the same old thing.
But it's amazing to me how many changes continually happening for me. It's just wild to think about. So, but one thing that's not changing is my undying love for Sonic. Well, no, even that's changing. I mean, I'm starting to bite the dust with Sonic a little bit. So
I think I have been there for all of the significant life events for you, Ray.
Yeah, really, because before then there really weren't any, you know?
Your birth wasn't that exciting, I'm sure.
I mean, it was okay.
A little bright, right?
All right, well, Tim, I'm a little thirsty. I won't lie.
Uh-oh.
So it's time to order trivia for two, please.
It does go well with a chicken.
Yes, in this old school segment, regardless of whether or not Tim is prepared, Tim and I try to stump each other on ridiculous video game trivia and determine who is currently the biggest nerd.
Not fair. It's somewhat video game related, but it's a little more 2P Star related, and you cannot cheat.
I won't. I'm not like you, Tim.
Okay.
I don't start Googling things and
okay.
pausing time and space.
The question is, what percentage of blue houses are registered sex offenders in Animal Crossing Town?
Let me think about this. I'm not cheating, I promise.
Olivia, click, 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 type, type, type. Think about this. One more second while it loads. I mean, my brain thinks.
I'm going to say 71%.
How could you say that?
I can use a calculator is correct, right? Like, a calculator is not cheating,
cheating,
right?
Yeah, you're using something other than your brain.
Why is a calculator cheating?
Besides, it's 71.43%.
Well,
so
I know, but I was being
you're
nice.
You're way off. I guess if you knew it was five out of the seven houses, then that's...
I did remember that, yep. Yeah, I did remember that, yes.
All right, well...
Yeah, woohoo!
Congratulations.
I win. Alright, here's your question. Are you ready?
You remember the comic that you just did, but I really thought you might forget.
But I have a fairly decent memory.
Yeah. Alright, go for it.
Delicious again, Peter.
Okay, I'm going to play you a boss battle theme from a video game. Your multiple choice question is, which video game is it from? A. Sonic CD. B. Nice into Dreams. C. Jet Grind Radio. Or D. Rent-A-Hero Number 1.
Wait, what's the last one? Rent a Hero?
Rent a Hero.
I never heard of that game.
It's a Japanese game. All right,
All right.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Wow. I combed the M4A file and there was no information on there that you left behind.
See, look at you, cheater. Goodness gracious. That's all you were doing the whole thing. You didn't even listen to it. You were probably just...
I kind of zoned out while I was looking for information. To me, it sounds like a Jet Grind Radio song, and that's the only game I'm really familiar with. So that's... I'm going to have to go with that, I guess.
You are incorrect. What would be your second choice?
Nights into Dreams.
You are incorrect.
Wow. What's your third choice?
Sonic CD.
That would be correct.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So that was from the Japanese version of the Sonic CD soundtrack, which is why you can understand why Sega of America might want a different soundtrack.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that there's a different soundtrack for each game.
Yeah, it's very strange. But kind of cool, though, too, right? I mean, it's very unique.
Well, that, I mean, doesn't it? I mean, I'm guessing that's why you made it a choice, but it kind of sounds like a Jet Grind Radio song, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to pick things that would be... Because, like, Nights into Dreams also had very strange music, and I figured I'd throw in a Japanese title as well, just to mess with
Throw
things,
me so. Off. Wow.
It didn't work, though. You didn't fall for that bait. But.
No, I didn't, but... You know, interesting, right?
I mean,
you kind of cheated there because you should have said Sonic CD, the Japanese version.
Because I
went through the whole U.S. soundtrack in my head and it didn't sound like anything I was used to hearing.
During the song, you downloaded it, and you skipped around. Like, can I listen to that one more time, Ray? Okay, all right, my time.
Got one more minute and 20 seconds. Go. All right.
Well, now it's time for our topic of the week. And this week, I assume we want to talk about GDC 09.
Yes, and the when only
Nintendo
real
made some
huge...
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's a little bit... Yeah, there's some Nintendo news, yeah.
Yeah, Nintendo announced some new things at the conference, or the convention, I'm sorry, and... So, first of all, what did they announce?
Wii 4.0 update and Zelda Spirit Tracks.
So first of all, the Wii System Update 4.0, what are your thoughts?
I think it would ruin any of chance I have of playing Bad News Baseball, so...
Yeah, since it doesn't really quite work with the homebrew channel yet.
But other than that, it's a real solution, right?
Yes, the new update allows for you to play virtual console titles off of your SD card without having to copy them to the Wii system memory, which is great. I mean, that's what we were talking about, right? I mean,
and that was if you, I don't know, if someone goes back and listens, I think that's almost exactly what I predicted they would do, right?
Probably, yeah, if I'm being nice.
Come on, give me a little credit here.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I didn't think they would go with any kind of
that's true.
Add-on
yeah, that's
device,
right.
Remember?
Yeah.
I said it would all
be
SD
card. Yeah,
it's
coming back
card.
To me now.
Yeah, yeah. So, thank you for listening to 2B Start Live, Nintendo. And,
but here's the thing, is like, it's great that they have that, but my question is, why did it take so friggin' long?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, they do now support the high-capacity SD cards.
How hard is that? I don't understand the difficulty behind that.
I don't understand why.
I mean, the Wii's been out for 3 years now. We've been harping on this for at least two, right?
Yeah, probably close to that.
Because it took us a year to start
building up virtual console titles. It's been out 2.5 years.
Yeah, but still, it's like, why'd it take a year and a half to just do it in an update like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, unless they were toying with other things, and then they're like, you know what, let's just do SD card.
Yeah, it could.
But it's like
it
now people are like done playing virtual console games on it, so it's like no one cares anymore because they're done with all the pain. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I'm certainly not buying virtual console games these days, but you know, with the WiiWare titles out now, maybe they can up the capacity.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I've heard of some developers just really abandoning the platform because it's like, look, we can't fit our game into what was the limit, like 50 megabytes or something ridiculous.
Right. Yes.
And there were some unique ideas using the Wii controller that they just couldn't get any decent graphics on there, so they said forget it. So maybe that'll kind of help independent developers come back to the platform, I suppose.
And then the other announcement was Zelda Spirit Tracks, which is a new Zelda game for the DS in the same sort of visual style as Phantom Hourglass. And Link has ditched the
Steamboat
for a train. So now Tim and I haven't talked with each other about this yet because it's kind of sad because we'll get on the phone and we'll be like, hey, you want to talk about, we should probably save that for the podcast, huh?
Yeah.
We have nothing to talk about and we just hang up. It's kind of depressing, really. Like, this is our only form of communication now.
But, you know, if we talked about it, we would just be regurgitating our thoughts and then it wouldn't seem, you know.
Authentic,
yeah.
So what did you think when you saw, I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, any new Zelda title to me is exciting.
Yes.
They're always well done. I enjoyed Phantom Hourglass. Of course, I would prefer to see a full Wii Zelda title announced, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm disappointed about, is I would have preferred to have seen a Wind Waker sequel on the Wii.
Yeah, because now this is two in a row on the DS, right?
Yes.
And so it's like...
Which is understandable. It's probably pretty easy to make, you know, in terms of...
Yeah, they got the engine...
Yeah, exactly.
Basically built to just changing characters
and
around.
I thought it was a winning formula, so I'm glad to see they didn't completely upend the tea tables on that thing and change it to something radically different.
Right. I'm kind of curious to see how the whole train thing pans out. Does it seem?
I mean, I will admit it seemed weird when
It does seem weird, yeah.
I mean, there is something very off-putting to me about the train. I think because it doesn't make sense in the whole medieval sort of look and feel.
Not at all.
Because that's basically what the Zelda series is. I mean, I can understand riding on a horse and going on, you know, it's like, okay, there were horses back then, people rode on them. Or going on a boat, it's like, okay, people were on a boat back then, I'm sure, they're traveling around, got it. But, like, train just seems like it's jumping a different... I think having him dressed up in, like, a train outfit was a mistake. Because that makes it so much different than just Zelda. Like, Zelda riding on a train. You know, it's like if you put on, like, a whole sailor's outfit when he got on the boat, you know, it's like, no. Like, that's not Zelda. That's something weird.
I suppose there were certainly some, I guess, anachronisms in place before this game with, I mean, I looked it up. Trains were invented in 1822. So I don't think of Link... You know, running around in 1822. That doesn't seem like a Zelda title, you know. But Phantom Hourglass used steamboats, and they were invented in like 1803 or something. So it's not that far off. I think it's just the fact that we were used to Wind Waker in a boat, and we're still in a boat, and maybe didn't really
consider... Did he start
consider...
in a steamboat, though?
Yeah, he's in a... I mean, the boat he's in with the captain guy is a steam-powered boat.
Okay.
That's
true.
Yeah, and you know, he's got that he's had the mechanism to kind of go. I mean, there's certainly things that didn't fit the make-believe era that we expected to see Link in. But the train just definitely seems that's like American almost, you know.
Yeah.
And we associate that with just expansion across the United States.
It's a certain kind of flavor that we don't expect to see in a Zelda title. Yeah, it was cracking me up, though, how many people were like, it better not have the Temple of the Ocean King in it again.
Oh, yeah.
That was horrible. Yeah. And, like, that's always been really interesting to me because I never really minded the Temple of the Ocean King.
Yeah, let's talk about this because you don't have a problem with it. And
I don't.
I actually do.
And, like, and that's the thing is, like, it's like, oh, you had to go through it, like, five times. You just had to do the same thing over and over again. It's like... No, that's not true. You had to go to deeper levels, yes. So every time you went back, you had to go through where you were before and to the next area. But the thing was, every time you came back to it, you had new abilities that allowed you to go through those areas very quickly. You could take shortcuts that you never could before. And so if you went through it doing all the same things that you did before, yeah, that is going to be really boring. But if you actually, you know, think a little harder and do... you know, a little bit extra work to do all the shortcut things, it's like, oh, this is a snap. And then it's all about like the how fast can you clear it sort of thing too. It was kind of like a race, so it wasn't like, oh, just you know, trudge through this dungeon for a while. It's like, dude, do it as fast as you can, learning what you knew before, plus your new tricks. I thought it was a kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, it was certainly new and different, and it was fun, I suppose, to an extent, but eventually it was a little much for me personally. And you remember, I just kind of got tired of it, and I stopped playing the game for a long period of time. And then I came out and visited you last summer. I'm like, I ought to just try this out again. We were in the car or something. And I was like literally like next to the final boss. And yeah. I didn't even realize how close I was because, you know, the dungeon was so... I'm like, I don't want to go through this dungeon anymore. And I went through like one doorway and I'm like, oh. 5 minutes late. 5 minutes later, I beat the game. I'm like, why did I wait 6 months to do this?
Exactly.
But,
I think maybe the feeling of coming back to a dungeon that was difficult... And then being I have to start from the beginning. Just that alone puts you off. But every time people just seem to forget that you don't have to do it the same way.
I just remember,
it's like just the mere thought of that, or like, I'm not playing the new Zelda game if that's in it. If I even hear that word, I'm out.
People have some strong feelings.
Totally. I'm going to get some sweet hate mail this week. I'm excited.
I just keep thinking of those stupid stone shapes.
Yes.
And having to take them into different rooms. I'm like, that to me is miserable because I know where they go, but I just have to do it again. And
but isn't on your
there's
last
some
time,
shorter ways
on
to
your
do
last
it.
Time though, aren't you able to kill the enemies for the first time?
Yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah.
It's like, that was like what was so cool about the last time is you could go around and just beat on everybody instead of having to avoid them continuously. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I just smite everyone and I'm at the end.
Yeah. And that was pretty annoying, is having enemies, so many enemies that you couldn't actually kill for a long time.
But that was the, like, that's what makes Pac-Man Pac-Man, you know? It's like, that's the game. That's the little gimmick game for that. I know, but it's changing. It's like, oh, people are always complaining about how Zelda's only doing the same thing over and over, and they give us something new that's interesting. It's like, oh, this is weird. Like, I don't like this. And it's like, come on. Give it some wiggle room here, Tim.
Yeah, I gave it some wiggle room. Just didn't want it to wiggle much.
Didn't want to have to wiggle to the end boss door, I know.
Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, yeah, well, it should be interesting. It's coming this year, so that's kind of nice. And maybe it'll give me a reason to play my DS again.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to comic talk. This week we had our For the Wrong Reasons comic.
I think it was a different way of doing a comic or doing a particular joke, and that was kind of nice to mix it up, because if every time we go out there and it's like this character's talking, character A is talking to character B talks back to character A gives a punchline and there you go, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it can feel too formulaic. So
yes,
when you came up with this idea, I was intrigued and I liked it, but I'm like, is that enough? I mean, is that enough? And that was my biggest reservation. And
gotcha.
And my other thought was, and again, there was a time constraint issue involved, but...
Yeah, so we kind of had a little disagreement about that, only because, you know, we could... I mean, I guess my joke was very broad. It just kind of paints the broad picture of these are registered sex offenders in Animal Crossing. And then I like that because it could... Your mind kind of wandered to specific ideas of why that would be, or... what would happen because of that. Like, you get to make kind of fill in all the jokes in your head.
Yeah.
And you were kind of wanted a more specific approach where we actually have a specific thing happening. And even if they don't like the joke, they would still enjoy the expressions on people's faces, for example, and stuff like that. And like, my coworker had seen the comic and he had basically said, like, I don't understand this comic at all, but I really think it's a funny idea of like the government intervening in video games and forcing people to label their houses as like registered sex offenders, within like having them, you know, control the video game industry a little bit and what they can and can't do in their games regarding online connections. And I'm like, I didn't even think about it like that. That's very,
that is kind of funny,
you know? And so that's where the comic succeeded for me, is it kind of led, even if they didn't get it, they could still lead their mind to think of other things. Like for instance, me putting, you know, the sex offender symbol on Tom Nook's place, you know, it's kind of like a little side gag on its own. Like, oh, like these aren't just the houses like Tom Nook himself. And then you can think about like all the things Tom Nook used to do or say, or how he has two children working on the second floor for him, you know, that kind of thing. It's like you can start to think of the jokes for us in a way. But it does kind of feel like a cheap way out. Like, oh, I'll just paint the broad picture and then you guys make the jokes. But the same way, that's what it kind of gives it its unique twist.
Yeah, it was definitely unique. I mean, yeah, if we did this every week, we're like, here's a broad idea, now you guys find ways to make it funny. That right. That would be a cop yeah. out. But mm-hmm. for to do it, you know, rare occasion that.
And I honestly felt bad about picking that comic because you had given me like 5 different ideas that weekend. It was insane.
I finally had a lot of ideas, but
I still went with the one I picked, you know, that I had brought up, brought to the podcast last week.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the jokes that we probably won't end up doing because it's kind of a timed thing was, you know, Obama did the Special Olympics joke when he was on Leno. Yeah. And so we were talking about like if there was a way that we could have a comic that's like, Obama and Sonic at the Special Olympic Games, you know.
We would have had to walk a fine line with being sensitive there.
That's one of the reasons I kind of avoided. Like, I don't want to get murdered this yeah. week. Just personally. Yeah, so that one never came through. But was there another one that was time sensitive like that?
No, I don't think so. There's a couple other ideas. Well, I think both of our Black Doom Awards brought up thoughts of some good yes. ideas, I think.
Yeah, you wanted to do something about...
we could have done a Call of Duty.
...and the dog and stuff, and like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if like they were petting the dogs or something? And I'm like, okay, this is going to be a nightmare for me to draw, by the way. like people in suits with dogs and like, oh my gosh, I'm like Forrest, I'm out. Well, before we move on, I'd like to go and do a little Ricky Ricky remix. The segment I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by and where you can grab it. This week, it's a remix of a Bionic Commando song by the artist Palpable, and it's called Armed and Dangerous. Let's listen to a short sample from it. To your music collection, I've got a link up right now for those of you listening to the M4A version of the podcast. Otherwise, you can just head on over to ocremix.org and track it down yourself. Every great comic comes great comments, and this week's suggestion box was no different. My con of the week is going to go to Nintendo Gamer 101. Well, do you want to follow up the story about theme or PETA?
Yeah, well, I put a blog post up describing it a little bit if you want to check that out. But yeah, basically PETA, bunch of weirdos.
Okay, just get to it.
they caught on to the whole protest about Call of Duty World of War. So they sent Activision Nintendogs and were hoping that they would incorporate some of the lessons they learned from Nintendogs into the next Call of Duty game.
Yeah, which is kind of ridiculous. And so Nintendo Gamer 101 said, and by the way, if an evil naughty dog is about to rip out your throat with its teeth, I wouldn't go up to it and pet it. I would kill it. Is that what PETA wants me to do? Not defend myself if an evil naughty dog tries to kill me? Because, you know, I'm sure that PETA would prefer that the dog lived over me, a human, right? I thought that was pretty funny. Because, it's like these dogs are attacking you, and so you have to shoot them to survive. I mean, that's basically the gist of it. Am I correct?
Yeah, they make it sound like, you know, these poor innocent dogs were minding their own business, and you went out of your way to beat them up, and then when they were on the verge of death, then you killed them, you know?
Right.
Like,
and I,
come on.
I'd never thought about putting it together like that. Like, an evil Nazi dog comes to me and I pet it. You know, I was like, I'd be dead. That's the stupidest idea ever. I need to shoot this thing.
No, you gotta whip out the frisbee and hope that it chases the frisbee.
Yeah, the meat on a bone. Maybe that's what they need to learn from Nintendogs, you know? Throw the food out, and then he'll go to that, and then he can, you know, move on with your life.
Yeah, what you need to do is kill a Nazi and then cut his arm off, and then when the dogs come to chase you, you throw him the arm.
Tim, some people might be offended by that. Like Nazis. Well,
the Nazis might be. All right, well, my comment goes to Sheppy. After reading the comic this week, he says, "What the... is that my house? Oh, all the... who do I talk to so I can clear this misunderstanding up? And how old are they?" When you read it with that inflection, I think it's pretty funny. So thanks, Sheppy, for the laugh.
Yeah, that was good. Well, we also have some people who comment for the very first time. And for that, we have a segment titled, Rise from Your Grave.
Rise from your grave.
Many Two Piece Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by reading our comics but never leaving a single comment.
How dare they?
So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you. Oh, boy. You know, this week we had Chris Kaching go around and pretty much comment on every single comment we've ever had.
I have something to say about that.
Okay.
Is this somebody you know personally, Ray?
I do, yes.
All right, can you call him up and tell him to stop?
What? Why?
Here's the thing. No offense, Chris, but I get an email every time somebody leaves a comment on the website, which isn't a big deal because...
Boo-hoo.
No,
oh,
just
Tim.
Listen. Just hear me out here. It's usually not a big deal because if it's all in the same couple, 3-4 articles, comics, podcasts, whatever, they're all grouped together and it's not a big deal. But when I wake up and I have 30 emails in my inbox and they're all different comics, different podcasts... that gets kind of annoying. So if you could just stick with the latest...
And the comments talk about specific things for that comic, and you have no idea, you don't, can't remember about this
yeah,
one
I'm like,
line that was
okay,
said.
Okay, what is he talking about?
Like, oh man, Ray's absolutely right on that, you know what I mean? Like, no.
Nope, I don't have any clue what you're talking about.
No, yeah, he was a friend from college, and...
And then he left a couple comments, he was like commenting on a podcast, and then he commented again, he's like... oh, whoops, wrong one. I have like 5 open right now. So he's like commenting in the wrong windows. I'm like, oh my gosh.
But he's gone from episode 1 to 32 is what I've heard. So he's going down the road. He was detailing how long it would take him to listen to it all.
Well, so, yeah. that's dedication, I'll tell
you.
There
you go. So Chris Kaching, nice to have you on board, buddy. Nice to see you around again. And
no, please don't let it be another year before you check out the site, please.
Also, we had a couple of Rise from the Graves that I had totally missed for some reason. One of which was Ness, who said, I've been a fan since comic 54, but I immediately read 1 through 53. So basically, I've been a fan since the beginning. Keep up the good work on the site and podcast. And also, we had Ryman, who said, by the way, I rose from my grave during the comic In a Pickle and never got mentioned. It hurts me inside to know that I was looked over and shunned by Tim and Ray. Cries. And their original
was
comment
not
was,
intentional.
Hey, I just started to read your comics yesterday and thought they were funny. I even read all the older ones. I have a lot of time on my hands. And I'm surprised you've done one on what a Sega version of Super Smash Bros. Would be or the racist fiasco with Resident Evil 5. Do you know what they mean by the Sega version of Smash Bros.?
No. I'm guessing he's... I don't know.
And I'm surprised you've done one
Sonic
on...
Sonic
what... yeah, I know, but...
Smash Bros.
Unless they don't realize Sonic's in Smash? I don't know,
Ryan.
Clear that up
clear
for us,
up.
Ryan. You'll have to leave 2 comments. This isn't acceptable. No, but hey, it's great to have you guys on board. Those of you who are still in the shadows,
what the heck is your problem?
Seriously, we work so hard to hear from you guys, and all you do is, you can't even throw us a freaking bone, all right? Get out there, throw a bone from your grave. We want to hear you guys.
Yeah,
but
we
really,
hate
we,
you.
We appreciate. We we're gonna send some dogs at you, and you can't kill them. We we really appreciate everyone that reads the comic and listens to the podcast, and it definitely means a lot to me. So we do it for you guys. So hey, thanks. We really appreciate it.
We also appreciate those of you who read the podcast and listen to the comics.
Yeah. Okay,
that's much appreciated.
You know what? Just for that, I'm gonna make it rain, which means it's time for the dreaded
Black Doom Award.
Whoa.
Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created. This week, my Black Doom Award is going to go to Nintendo. Because frankly, I did not think the GDC announcements were all that great. I thought they were pretty
poor. You have to understand, GDC is not the place to make your megaton announcements. That's what E3 is for. It's like, didn't you make a similar comment with Apple?
No,
when
hold,
I was like,
on, say,
Apple's
what,
announcements
no,
weren't that big. And you're like, well, that's a software convention, not a hardware convention, you know?
Yeah, but what? Okay, so what did they announce at the last E3?
Okay, the last E3 is a whole nother story.
Okay, yeah,
that was a Black Doom Award, I'll tell you that.
But that's my point, is they seemed, it was like, oh, well, we're going to skip over stuff for this E3, because you know what? E3's not that important anymore. It's not where the big announcements are going to be. It's going to be...
But it is now. It's back.
What? Said who? What
oh,
is,
you don't... Come on, you didn't know that it's...
didn't hit my doorstep.
It's huge again. It's E3 is like... Because E3 last year was so horrible, they're like, you know what, if this thing's going to survive, we need to go back to, like, how we did it back in the day, in the 90s.
So because,
in the early...
Okay, so because E3 is planning on being the Big Bang, then, and we don't, and we have not actually heard Nintendo say, we're going to hold our great announcements until E3, you're basically just assuming that's how they're thinking.
Yep.
I can't buy into that. I just
okay,
can't.
But you, so what do you think they're going to do? They're going to have a big keynote on June 2nd or whatever and not going to announce anything?
Well,
Wii
gonna...
Music 2 and Wii Motion Plus delayed for another year or something? I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, they're going to announce a 20-song pack for Wii Music. Featuring Twinkle Twinkle Remixed Little Star
versions
Remix.
Of Happy
Remix.
Birthday.
I mean, I don't know, but it's like, what have you guys been working on for the last year, right?
That's what we're going to find out.
Wouldn't you think Zelda would be an E3
yes,
thing?
Yes, it will be. It will be.
Yeah. Right there with Kid Icarus, yeah. Mark my
yep,
words there,
that
right?
too.
There you go.
Yep.
I talked with Matt Casamassina.
Mark my words. Kid Icarus, a new Zelda on the Wii, and Blu-ray support for... No, just kidding.
Gird your loins, everyone.
And something else big that we don't know about yet.
I'm sorry. I just... I
don't
have
apologize.
Faith. I've lost the faith. I really have. I just...
And Nintendo bought Sega, and they're going to produce all the future Sonic games. There you go.
All right. Well, I can look forward to that. I'm sorry. I'm still disappointed. They need to do more. Yeah, we've been over it.
Well, I think my Black Doom Award...
I still have Smash Brothers Brawl, so, you know, life's still good.
See? How can you diss Nintendo?
I know.
Oh, that's the other thing they're going to announce, is add-on downloadable characters for Brawl, including Mega Man.
Black Doom.
Speaking of Mega Man, my Black Doom Award goes to Mega Man 2.
Really?
The iPhone.
Ah, so does
holy,
they.
Holy crap. It's really unbelievable how Capcom could screw up what some people consider one of the greatest games ever made. They've done so many things wrong, it's really... a lot... I've heard from many people, this feels like some jailbroken iPhone person, hacker, just put it together just to get it playable.
So it's
just
out
so they could
currently?
Do it. It's out.
Okay. And have you played it?
I have not played it.
Okay. Then you need to stop talking. No, go ahead. No.
Okay. IGN gave it a 1 out of 10.
What?
Now, I think that's no matter how much they screw up Mega Man 2, it's not worth a 1. I think they're making a statement here, but here's their...
You know, IGN, would you stop making freaking statements and review games? Goodness.
Here's the first paragraph of their review, okay? First of all, do not buy this game for any reason whatsoever. Don't. Don't buy it. Do not buy it. Don't buy it. And they go on to describe just basically with the problems. Not, I mean, this isn't the Sonic Unleashed thing all over again. This is like, here is literally what's wrong with this game. It's got 2 stars in the App Store, which is pretty low for, you know, a game you would figure would be well received. The first thing I want to show you, and you can put this in the show notes or whatever. Take a look at this screenshot. Here's what the game looks like. This is the full screen on the iPhone here.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Okay, so there's so many problems here. First of all, the play field is like, what, 50% of the screen?
Yes.
So clearly you have, you know, cheap port written all over this, because they're like, we're not changing the resolution, we're not changing anything. It fits where it fits, and we're just going to fill the rest of the area, right?
Now, is that the actual pixels lined up? Like, is that pixel per pixel?
Yeah, that's like... I believe that is the real NES resolution of the game.
Okay.
But to not give any other options... First of all, you can't do landscape mode. So imagine putting your 2 thumbs next to each other, controlling freaking Mega Man. One of the more difficult games you can play on the
trying
NES.
Trying to play Quick Man stage. That's the real challenge. How fast can you beat Quick Man stage with the iPhone version?
Well, here's the thing. Take an NES controller and cut the middle part out and stick the 2 ends together and try playing Mega Man. You know? I mean, does that seem like it would be something conducive to gaming?
But not even that, because it's not a D-pad. You don't have physical buttons.
Exactly. It's basically an virtual analog stick, not even a virtual D-pad. But here's the other thing. It's made to look like a little arcade cabinet, right?
It's cute. I gotta buy it.
Sure, except the fact that Mega Man 2 was never in the arcades. So what the heck is it doing in an arcade cabinet? Was the main cabinet or something? I mean...
What it came down to, I think, is they probably put it at its regular resolution. And they were like, gee, we have a lot of space here. What should we do? And then somebody who got a raise was like, I want to do an arcade cabinet.
Yeah, okay. Well, besides the fact that it doesn't make sense, it doesn't utilize the space very well. One person suggested, hey, instead of having a little itty-bitty tiny pause button, how about you make the power-ups selectable from the top of the screen, since you're not using the entire screen?
But then it wouldn't be a true port. Because a true port requires a joystick on a touchscreen.
Yeah, if it was a true port, you'd have an NES pad to play it. So,
right.
You know, so it just makes too much sense to actually use the technology you have. So next thing, okay. The joystick... First of all, the buttons in the joystick are like 3D-ish, kind of, so... Instead of having a nice big area to push the buttons,
that's a great point. Yeah,
it's like a 3D stick. So what are you really supposed to do? You know, it just doesn't make sense. Why would you have this like half angled button?
What you're supposed to do is hold the iPhone at a tilt so that it looks 3D from your view.
Very nice.
And then you move your fingers in relation to that.
Okay, so the joystick, the circle, the knob of the joystick is really just a virtual analog pad. So anyway, it does not control very well. Everyone who said anything about this game says it's very difficult to control. But to compensate for the bad controls, they made the game really easy. So the bosses, like, three hits and they're dead.
No.
Yes.
No way. Oh, parts my of this, gosh.
See, this is where it gets bad for you, I know. Whole parts of some of the stages are just gone. Like, part of Flashman's stage where it gets difficult, not even in there.
Oh, screw this crap. What the heck?
Okay, now tell me something, Ray. If you were to, how would you describe like the gravity in Mega Man?
Oh no. As too realistic.
It's not very floaty, right? I mean,
it's harsh.
You're way down as soon as you jump.
You know what you're doing when you jump.
Oh yeah, in this game it's super floaty. When you fall without any gravity. You basically you're like on the moon just falling. And you can jump across about 75% of the screen in one jump.
Oh.
And so what that means is certain areas, certain like items and stuff that are supposed to be inaccessible until you get certain power-ups and whatever
else. Are suddenly now accessible.
You can access them right away. Oh, access them right away. Can you imagine? I mean, just so there goes the balance aspect of it, you know?
I can't believe this.
I'm not even done. Okay, so the music. A lot of people thought...
No.
A lot. I know. It gets worse.
This is where I flip over my computer table and then download the app and break my iPhone.
The first thing, it's sort of minor, but the music is off by default.
No.
So a lot of people start playing the game, they're like, wait, they don't even have music or sound effects in this game? And a lot of people are just done with it at that point. And then people had to explain to them, no, it's off by default, so you have to go into options and turn it on. But
hey, I got an idea. How about if my iPhone's on hold, you silence it? Just a thought.
Yeah. It just is so weak. And then a lot of people are complaining that the music doesn't loop correctly. Like, it glitches out, it doesn't loop right, and the music starts earlier than it's supposed to in certain areas. Like, when you're about to go into the boss battle, the music starts before you even get there.
My childhood is melting.
And then, as you're hitting the boss with the last, or the third and final hit, because it only takes like 3 hits to kill him, the victory music starts before he even like blows up. So you know how you have that nice sound effect that goes, you know, that little like...
Yeah, you get the...
No, it's victory music. So they didn't even get that right.
You can't see me, but I'm like covering my face right now. It's
with a Sonic hat, right?
I didn't bring that with me yet. I'll go pick that up later.
Yeah, that's the first thing you should have packed.
Well, I should have packed like my life-size Sonic... life size. My stand-up cardboard cutout of Sonic, but I was like, you know, I can wait till another weekend.
Leave that one back.
Just for a little while.
So anyhow, you can see why $5 for the worst port in the universe
$5.
Is just not really a good price for that game.
It's unbelievable.
But I mean, of all the problems, the fact that they screwed up the balance, like they're like, this game doesn't play very well. It's very difficult because it's an iPhone and because we don't know how to program.
Yeah.
Let's just make it really easy.
Now, what the heck is the deal with the buttons being labeled L and R?
I don't know.
When were those ever used for anything?
Apparently A and B are copyrighted by
yes, the letters of the alphabet are
the
copyrighted.
Of the alphabet.
Come on!
The alphabet now starts with the letter C, by the way. Unless you want to pay royalties to Nintendo.
This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can't believe it.
There you have it. Can't wait for Mega Man 3.
I like how they just skipped over the first one, because that one will just be too hard anyways. No matter
what. Even if you did tweak it.
I can't imagine jumping and trying to fire as fast as I can on a touchscreen. Because, like, on the controller, you could hold your finger down on the button, but you'd press it over and over. You know what I mean? And now it's like you'd have to lift up your finger every time you'd want to use it. That would just... I can't imagine.
I suppose you
like
could
that.
Hold it down and he... I suppose
oh,
you
no,
hold it down.
No, they can't do that. Oh.
I'm sure that's what
they
did.
That crap. When they're like, oh, hey, in this Mega Man Anniversary Collection, you can just hold X and do, like, auto-fire. I'm like, really? Mm-hmm. You just ruined this game. That's all I'll ever do now because, like, it's available to me and I can't turn it off. Jeez.
Yep.
Well, I guess I'll do it then, huh?
That'll do it.
Thanks. You just ruined like my first couple days in my new place. All right.
If you really want to ruin it, go ahead and buy it and experience it firsthand.
Oh man, yeah, I'd probably go off. All right. Well, and finally, we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfit. Some great video game songs have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are interested. Our listeners get to trade off every other week with my suggestions, so this week's song was submitted by Fluffy Panda called Somnia Memorias from the game Parasite Eve. So that will do it for this
great game.
This will do it. So that will do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Well, for every great comic comes great comments. Phone ring. Let me take this phone call.
What in the world? That better not be Jessica.
It's not. Hello?